the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today we're going to talk about the harmful effects of pornography and what are some of the things that we need to watch out for as parents. These articles we'll read through. I actually hesitate to hand them out because I wanted to just sit there and read through them. So we'll read through these as we go through. We'll read through a few of the articles. But I think we live in a time, for those of us who have kids, who have young kids, we live in a time that is really unparalleled in the potential problems that kids are going to face with pornography. It's a new era. It's a problem that has never existed really in humanity. Drugs have always been around. Alcohol has always been around. Sex has always been around. There's nothing new about that. What is different about this generation is access to pornography and what it's going to do to the kids. And therefore, what today is about is what are some of the things that we should be doing as parents. Gone are the days where kids would have to be embarrassed to go into a store to try to buy a magazine and then have that magazine at home and hide it. You know, so that was very difficult access for kids in generations past. Now, it's everywhere. It's on their phone, it's on their computer, it's on their friend's phone, it's on their friend's computers. It's absolutely everywhere. And the range is limitless. It's not like before they might have had one magazine. Now it is endless. There is no way they can see everything that is out there to be seen on the internet. And in terms of the extent of the problem, anyone who thinks that their kids are not going to have a problem with pornography are fooling themselves. The priests say that they think pretty much just about every single kid has access to pornography at some time, at some point as they're growing up. I think that if you take nothing else from this talk, the problem is extreme. It is not to be glossed over, it's not a minor thing. I think that the problem of pornography in our kids is extreme. And we might just actually read the very first page of the handout. So these are articles, we're going to read them today. These are articles, they're excerpts from articles that I found in the Sydney Morning Herald over the last few years. So I liked to use this because these are not Christian writers. These are not people who say, from a Christian perspective, pornography is unchristian and unholy and you shouldn't do it. These articles are written by non-Christians, and most of them, in their articles, if you read the whole article, they say there's nothing wrong with pornography, it's a form of expression, you know, but they write about the problems that they're seeing. So it's a very nice, balanced opinion. The writers of these articles generally don't think there's anything wrong with the concept of pornography, but they are writing actually about problems they're seeing in their clinics. So we'll actually just read the very first page. That article is called The Porn Ultimatum, and that's from the Herald in 2009. These are just excerpts, it's not the whole article. So to give you an idea of how deep the problem is, in this article they wrote, last year, Men's Line Australia had a 34% increase in calls from men who felt pornography was a problem in their relationship. What's behind this increase is hard to pinpoint, but perhaps the likeliest and simplest explanation is the growing ubiquity of porn. The growing ubiquity of porn meaning the fact that it's everywhere. You know, ubiquity means it's everywhere you look, you'll find it. Figures suggest up to 1,000 new porn sites are created every day in an industry that is worth more than $3 billion. If you want porn, you'll have no trouble finding it, whether your preference is mainstream or belongs to the wilder side of sexuality, there is sure to be a site catering to interest. It is this ready availability on computers and even phones that is causing problems for some men. the barrier to entry, an embarrassing visit to a sex shop to buy a magazine or video has all but disappeared. Now, you'll note, this will be a real theme of today's talk, you'll note that in this article, they're talking about problems for men and their partners. They're not talking about problems for kids. And so that's actually a real theme that I want everyone to take home again from today, is that the problem of pornography in kids today is what it's going to do to them later, when they're married, when they're out of the house. It's not so much the problem. Yes, there'll be, you know, different problems now, but the impact on them will be lifelong and will be lasting and may really destroy their life down the track. So, what are the harmful effects? There are lots of studies which have looked at what are the impacts of pornography on children especially. And I've actually got another article, the second article. We're not going to read through it. I'll leave that for you to read another time. But it's written, Children Damaged by a Diet of Pornography. And in that article, it talks about lots of research that has been done, which shows that kids that access pornography usually have their first sexual encounter at a much younger age. They have an increase in their number of sexual partners, increased risks of sexually transmitted diseases, increased risk of partaking in violent sexual acts, and increased rates of child molestation. Now, you might think, surely none of this would ever happen to your kids. But it's about what your norm is. If you, for example, you would never want your kids spending time with people that have really different beliefs to yours. You would never want your kids spending hour after hour after hour with people that swear and, you know, reveal their own nudity and talk about things that are really vile and crass, people that are violent. You wouldn't want your kids spending time with that, with those sorts of people. Imagine if your kids online are spending time in that environment hour after hour, month after month, year after year. What it is going to do to their mind? What is normal for them, it will be completely different to what is normal for you. Their sense of normality and their thoughts about sexuality will be completely different. So that second article, I'll leave you to read that in your own time. So the first harmful effect are these extreme effects of pornography. So there's access to sexual intercourse and all of the violence that goes with pornography. The second problem that kids will have, and this applies to adults as well, this is not just kids, either kids who have accessed pornography and now they're adults, or adults who access pornography for the first time as adults. The next big problem is addiction. The concept of pornography addiction is a major problem. The brain gets rewired and they have an intense need for access to pornography on a daily basis. And it's like all other addictions, whether it be smoking or alcohol or drugs, when they are stressed, they need it more. Even though it's starting to damage their life around them, they access it. They stop studying. For someone who is working, their work really starts to lapse because they're feeding their addiction for pornography. We will read the second article, the third article, which is titled, Why More and More Women Are Using Internet Porn. So this article points out two things. Firstly, this article points out the problems of addiction to pornography. And then the second thing it points out is this is not a male-restricted problem. Anyone who thinks, oh, I've got girls, it's not going to be a problem for girls, this article clearly shows that that's not. So I'll just read this through. This is from an article in the Herald in 2011. Increasing numbers of women admit to being hooked on internet porn. Why is this happening and where are they finding help? Although there is much debate about whether porn addiction even exists, so mind you, this article writer doesn't even want to come out and say straight up there's something called porn addiction. You can see that the writers, they don't want to look like they're so extreme, conservative, crazy people that say that you shouldn't look at porn, right? So this again has been written by someone who doesn't even think there's anything really wrong with porn. Okay, to give you an idea of the background of the writer. So although there is much debate about whether porn addiction even exists, Caroline, a 21-year-old English graduate, so this is a university graduate, has just finished seeing a sex addiction therapist to help get her porn habit under control. She started watching porn out of curiosity when it became available over the internet in her mid-teens. Then, as she entered a depressed job market after university, it became a form of escape, a default she turned to whenever she felt anxious or bored. I'd be stuck at home, in front of my laptop, on my own, all day. I'd wake up with all these ideas for the day and end up searching for porn, trying to distract myself, eating and then going back for more porn. No one would ever have known, but I didn't get much done. It was like a constant battle between my sexual urges and my self-control. I'd think to myself, it's not doing any harm. But then I started to loathe myself for giving in and wasting so much time on it. Caroline is not alone. While it's accepted that women are watching porn more and more, it's less recognised that some are also finding it hard to stop. ACT, Quit Porn Addiction, the UK's main porn counselling service, almost one in three clients are women struggling with their own porn use, says founder and counsellor Jason Dean. 2 years ago, there were none, while more than 6 out of 10 women say they view web porn. One study in 2006 by the Internet Filter Review found that 17% of women describe themselves as addicted. So that's the second real problem that kids and adults will face with pornography. When they start accessing porn, it will become for them an addiction. And there are definitely people in the church, Christians who are struggling to be Christians, not to say bad people who are living on the streets, people struggling in our church who are addicted to porn. They are unable to stop themselves accessing it. They need it on a daily basis. If your kids get used to seeing porn every day when they are adults, whether they are married or not married, because marriage is by no means a solution, whether they are married or not married, they will have an intense addiction that they will struggle for years to try to break it. So you can see this article, it's a woman who's a university graduate, she wants to stop, and she's not even wanting to stop for Christian purposes, she's wanting to stop because she notices it is destroying her life. She can't function. She can't do anything. She's not achieving anything. And she wants to stop, and she can't stop. So we've said so far that if they access porn, it can have very harmful effects on their need for actual sexual interaction. It can be addictive. The third thing, which I personally feel is what is the biggest problem with kids accessing, I feel the biggest problem for them is that it's going to destroy their future relationships. They are going to be unable to have a normal, healthy marriage in the future. And this is whether they stop watching porn or they keep watching porn. I think a kid who for years and years and years has accessed porn is going to have an enormous struggle to have a healthy marriage with a healthy sexual relationship with their partner. They are going to have a lifelong struggle. And I think that is a real potential tsunami facing the church. Marriages having major problems because one or both partners have for years and years and years accessed porn. And so in actual fact, I think probably the most telling article that we're going to read read is the last one, which is titled, Porn Has Hijacked Sexuality and Is Destroying Men. Again, and I say this for the 10th time, the amazing thing about this article is it's written by a non-Christian. It's the most remarkable thing about this article that we'll read. This is written by a non-Christian. It's a psychologist who sees people with marital problems, and they're writing an article because they're noticing how big this problem is that they're seeing in men in their marriages, men who access porn and what it's doing to their marriage. And this was from an article in the Herald Tribune of the Age in 2010. A generation raised on hardcore porn has trouble with the real thing. Many women I know don't look at porn, but this doesn't mean that they are not affected by it every day. The men they date, have sex with, and marry are increasingly being brought up on a steady diet of porn. And the more they watch, the less capable they are of forming connected, intimate relationships. So if we just stop there for a second. So essentially what they're saying is, and the whole crux of this article, is that a person who normal sexual encounters for them has been formed in the world of pornography, when they enter a marriage or a relationship, they are unable to have a normal connection, an intimate connection with their partner, the way the Lord has designed marriage to be. They are unable to do it. So if we keep reading, the porn these men consume looks nothing like soft porn. Consumers are catapulted into a world of cruel and brutal sex acts designed to dehumanize women. In the vast majority of porn today, sex is not about making love, as the feelings and emotions we normally associated with such an act, connection, empathy, tenderness, caring, affection, are missing. And in their place are those we normally associate with hate, fear, disgust, anger, loathing, and contempt. We often hear that porn is all about fun and fantasy, so it has no real effect. My interviews with university-aged men tell a different story. Remember, this is the generation that grew up with internet porn. And some studies put the first age of viewing porn at 11 years. Unlike previous generations, these boys and men have unlimited access to hardcore images 24 hours a day. Many of the men I talk to believe that porn sex is what women want, and they become upset and angry with their sex partner, perhaps their wife, girlfriend, or a one-night hookup, refuses to look or behave like their favourite porn star. The women often refuse to perform the sex acts the men have routinely enjoyed watching, and real sex with real women starts to feel boring and bland. These men have become so accustomed to porn sex that some are disappointed by their own sexual performance. When they compare themselves with the male porn actors, the guys I talk to often admit to feeling like sexual losers and worrying something is wrong with them. In actual fact, there's quite a bit of evidence to show that men who for years and years and years have accessed porn in fact have great difficulty getting erections. Not erections in a normal sexual encounter with their sexual partner, with their wife, so it completely destroys their performance. What is new over the past 5 years or so is university-aged men admitting their addiction to pornography. I had been somewhat skeptical of the addiction model, thinking that it was a way for men to avoid taking responsibility for their porn use. However, I'm not the only one to hear about porn addiction. Therapists are seeing a rising wave of porn addicts looking for help. They found, both in their practice and from interviewing other therapists, that what used to be a small problem for relatively few people a greater societal issue that was spilling over and causing problems in the lives of countless everyday people. The men at university I speak to who are addicted do indeed end up in serious trouble. They neglect their studies, spend huge amounts of money they don't have, become isolated from others, and often suffer depression. They know that something is wrong, feel out of control, and don't know how to stop. So, I personally feel that in the kids growing up, the current youth, the kids below them, the biggest impact that pornography is going to have is it is going to have a profound impact on their relationships. Remember, this is a secular writer, a non-Christian writer, saying that pornography is destroying relationships. The same will happen to the kids growing up in the church. All of that is even before we start talking about the spiritual impact. This is actually just what's happening in the secular world. The secular world is saying it's destroying their marriages. Imagine for you after that also want your child to know Christ. How will they know Christ when their brain is hardwired to be watching pornography? It will be like trying to hit your kid's head against a brick wall, trying to get them to accept Christ and have a tender heart for him. Some people might say, oh, if my kids happen to stumble on a few sites and maybe they access it from time to time as kids, in the future they'll be alright, even if they don't get addicted. When the time comes for them to want to stop, and they do stop, the devil will have burnt on their brain images that they will remember for years, decades. They will have images on their brain that they are unable to erase. They could become the most spiritual person, but it will really be a major struggle, like a permanent neurological damage to them spiritually. You know the story of St. Moses the Black, that he was a thief and a rapist, and then he repented. What most people don't know is that St. Moses the Black, for 7 years after entering the monastery, was unable to enter his cell at night. At night time, he used to, because whenever he used to go into his cell, he'd be attacked by sexual thoughts. So at night time, he'd spend the whole night awake doing jobs around the monastery. And then in the daytime, in full view of everybody under a tree, he'd sleep for half an hour. That was the only way he could protect himself from sexual thoughts and sexual attacks. And man, so 7 years he did that as a monk, as a saint. 7 years he did that. What will your kids do? Will your kids go to that extreme to break that habit, to break those thoughts? I tell you that story because if St. Moses the Black had to do that, then that goes to show you how deep the impact will be on a child if they access these things for a couple of years. Trying to get rid of it will not be an easy task, and it will remain with them for years. What about strategies to try and stop it? So I think up to this point, what we've really talked about is the magnitude of the problem, right? And I'm not tech savvy, and actually Bas Salmi is going to come and talk for 5 or 10 minutes about how to set up your home. I don't know about social media, I'm a dinosaur with social media, I know nothing about it, so I'm going to need to learn that to try and help my kids. But all we've spoken about today is the magnitude of the problem. Every single child will have to face this problem as they get older. It will be a much bigger problem for you than premarital sex, alcohol, drugs, or smoking. It will be a much bigger problem because it's inside everybody's house. It might even be inside your kid's pocket right now if they have a mobile device, if they have a smartphone. So what do we need to do? I think the first thing is acknowledge that to yourself. Be very aware of that risk. And only by being super aware, hyper aware and hyper vigilant, do you have any hope of making a difference in your kid's life in this respect. I think that if you've been blind up till now and you haven't realised what a problem it is for kids, for what impact it will have on them, then from now on you really need to be very aware of that. Probably the biggest impact is your lifestyle and infrastructure at home. I personally think that if the impact is so extreme, then your battle against it and what limits you put inside the home have to be equally as extreme. And that's going to cause maybe lots of problems for you. Is it okay for your kids to have a smartphone? If it's too late for some of you, maybe it's too late, but kids who have a smartphone that can access porn, I think there is almost no way that they are not going to access it. And I don't mean to say that to denigrate anybody's children. That is the attraction of pornography. They're going to be doing online gaming, online reading. They're going to be getting pop-ups coming up on their phone all the time. A child's mind, appropriately, is inquisitive. It's appropriate for them to be inquisitive. That's what a child is. They want to know. They want to know what it is. And once they start accessing, there'll be no stopping. So I'll get Bass isn't here. When Bass arrives, I'll get Bass to talk a little bit what to do in my home. What I would say inside your home, no child should ever have access to the internet in their bedroom, ever. I think that that's just as simple as that. No phone, no computer, no laptop, no tablet should make its way into the bedroom, ever. And that should just be a standard rule. And the parents can do the same. You can say to your kids, well, I never have access to all the phones charge outside, all the tablets charge outside, everything is in the lounge room, nothing ever, 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 ever goes into the bedroom as a standard. The thing making the Bass will talk to you about is the need to have blocking software. Unfortunately, that's what it is. There are two reasons. One, yes, your child might be trying to access it, and if they're still young, then it's not that they're trying to access it, but websites and pop-ups are going to be trying to force it down their throat. You want blocking software to try and help them with that. That's unfortunately something I can't help you with. The next thing is education about pornography. I think from a very, very young age, we need to be talking to kids about pornography. I think we should be really open with them from a young age, explaining to them the risks. I always use this analogy that with my little children, you know, with a five-year-old child, when we're standing next to a highway, with cars flying past, I need to hold their hand. There's nothing I can do. I can't say, Sophia, do you know, if you step out onto the road and a car hits you, it might kill you, you might lose a limb, you might get brain damage. I can't say that to her, because just like that, she might step out and she's gone. So at that age, I hold her hand. But when she can finally understand that in fact it is damaging for her to step out onto the road, it will harm her if she steps out onto the road, she's the one that will lose if she steps onto the road, then I can very comfortably let go of her hand. Because she understands. So pornography is, and that happens over a period of years. You don't just one day you have to hold, and the next day you let go. As they grow, they, you know, one day they might be a bit unsettled, and that day you hold their hand. Next day, you know, they're listening, and you can leave them. The same goes with pornography. I think we need to talk to kids about pornography all the time. It's going to be in front of them all the time. It'll be the biggest problem they're ever going to face, I think, in their life. We should be talking about them, we should be very open about it. We should be educating them about the harmful effects of pornography. You should be reading the Bible with them about, you know, what is nakedness? And what does it mean to look at the nakedness of another person, which is what pornography is? What does the Lord think, and what impact will that have on you? And over time, if the child says, you know what, to look at pornography will harm me, and will hurt the Lord, I won't do it. If they really feel it will harm them, they will stop. And that's the day that you let go of their hand, because they don't need you to hold their hand anymore. For some, that will occur at a young age. For some, that might not occur until they hit university or later. Okay, so I'm just going to head over to Bass just to talk about what to do. Oh, actually, sorry, I'll just say one last thing. Sorry, Bass. The best thing that, you see, as I said, I feel the biggest problem with pornography is what it's going to do to their future marriages, whether they're male or female. The biggest problem with pornography is they're going to have very, very, very unhealthy, unhappy sexual relationships in their marriages when they get older. So part of teaching them about pornography is for kids to see a beautiful, loving relationship inside a Christian home of mutual respect, mutual care between the partners. And that will be another protection for kids as they get older.
I don't know what, I wasn't here for all of Mark's talk, but before we talk about internet security, and that's what we're going to give you, what we're here to talk about, well, the best thing you can do for your kids when it comes to the internet and devices is to be vigilant in watching and knowing what they're doing. One of the things we do, I've got four kids, like Mark. One of the things we do at home is that it's forbidden to take any electronics into bedrooms. Whether it's laptops, iPads, iPods, any devices that are connected to the internet, cannot enter a closed space. Whether it's the bathroom or whether it's the bedrooms or anything else, they always have to be in a public area. In fact, if we walk into one of their rooms and a device is in there, it's confiscated. Full stop. And when will I get it back, Dad? When I'm ready to give it back to you. It's a bit of a dictatorship, but so be it, because we're protecting them from something that's diabolical. It's horrible. So that's rule number one. Electronics will not go into closed spaces. The other thing we do also is, and this is the advice given by my daughter's high school, St. Ursula's, right? So it's not the Coptic school or any other school. It's a Catholic school, and one of the things they told us back in Year 7 when they gave them their laptop is we encourage you parents to know their passwords. The password to their computer, the passwords to Hotmail, the passwords to Gmail, all their passwords have to be known. So that's the other thing that we do. If you're not going to give me your password, then give me your device. I know it sounds hard, and maybe not trusting enough, but so be it. So that's the other thing that we need to do. Now, knowing their passwords, keeping it out in closed spaces, but then you can't keep your eye on them 24/7. Internet security pieces of software that we have at home is called K9. And K9 is very, very simple, but we find it quite effective. You can download it for free off the internet. K, the letter K, and the number 9. And the reason it's called K9 is because if a kid goes to a website that he shouldn't be at, a dog jumps up on the screen and starts to bark really loud. They can hear it across the house. And sometimes it's extra sensitive, so anyway, that's a problem. So the way it works, it's very, very simple. You Google it, you download it, you install it, and then it gives you some check boxes where you say, pornography, tick. They can't go there, it's blocked. Firearms, tick. Drugs, tick. Any other websites, you can actually physically type in the website. I don't want them to go there. Now, if they accidentally, sometimes it's an accident, they're doing a project and something about guns pops up and it's blocked, the dog starts to bark, my kids say, Dad, I swear I didn't do anything wrong. Come here. So we walk across and I have a look at where they tried to go, and it's up to me to decide whether to put in my password and allow them access to that website for 15 minutes. And then I walk away. 15 minutes later, the dog barks again and call me back. So you have those options.
very,
very, very simple stuff. It's free. You can put it on iPads, iPods, you can put it on your laptops, everywhere. Highly, highly effective. Can they get around it? Yeah, eventually they probably will. But we have to stay on top of it. Never give them that password, by the way. So you can put websites in there, you can put generic terms in there, and it can block them every single time. So I think that strategy is important. Now, along with Ayani caught the end part of what you were saying, it's very important for them to understand why this is wrong. Because at the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, these things become interesting. And curiosity is natural. And they want to go further. The problem is, once these images are burnt into their brain, they never leave. They can leave, but very, very difficult. And they come; those images will come and revisit them at the worst times. Now, in Sunday school just recently, I surveyed one of the girls' classes. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. I asked them, how many of them have got social media? And everybody put up their hand. How many of them have got social media without their parents knowing that they've got social media? Half of them put up their hand. So they can log on to anything. One girl told me that she wanted to have a look at some of her Instagram messages, some of the pictures, and her phone was dead. So she took her dad's phone and downloaded Instagram and logged in and was having a look at the messages and told her father, here's the phone back. When it buzzes, just give it back to me. And he was without checking. We need to be much more vigilant. We have got a problem. I think my four kids are perfect. That's the first mistake. And we all have a similar problem. And our kids are a gift from the Lord and they're wonderful. But we have to assume that sometimes curiosity gets the better of them. And we need to be on top of that. Please. Because this affects all of us. Because I want my kids to be the friends of your kids at the same time. It affects all of us. So stay on top of it. Know their passwords. Worry about enclosed places. Make sure that they don't go in closed places. The other thing we do, and it's not for everybody, is we take their electronics on Sunday night and give it back to them on Friday night. And the reason we say we do that is so they can focus on study and they can go outside and play, and that is part of it. But the other part of it is we want to minimize their exposure to this sort of stuff. Okay? So K9, Google it, download it, install it. If you need any help, I'm sure you can, through Mimi, you can get my name. And if you need me to come over and install it, we can do that. It's fairly simple.
And does it apply to mobile devices as
yes.
well? And so Android and
yes.
iOS?
Yeah.
For mobile devices?
Yes. Yes. Any more? I had 10 minutes, I think we're done. Thanks, that's good.
Thanks, Pastor.
So I think just to end it off, I think, the take-home message from today is that I think that pornography is the all-time biggest danger it's the biggest danger facing our kids, and it's going to require an enormous effort to minimise the harm that is occurring to our kids. We all have to work together, but please do not be blind to it, because if you're blind to it,
thank you. I just want to say a couple of announcements. These talks are every 2 weeks. I know sometimes the fathers don't announce it exactly as we send them, but every 2 weeks there will be a new topic.